I got an email right before Shabbos with a note. This must have been put up all over, I guess, like Yeshiva World News and Matzav and, you know, all the Jewish websites. It says in big letters on the top, Lahasir Michshol, to save people from a potential stumbling block. It is a psak halacha that is signed by a number of prominent poskim in Lakewood, New Jersey. Maybe you could tell me if you're familiar with these. Rav Forsheimer, I know, is a very big poskim in Lakewood. Rav Shmuel Meir Katz, you don't know, okay, but also apparently a big poskim in Lakewood. Rav Shmuel Yitzchak Felder, yeah, very big poskim in Lakewood. A number of, and another one that I can't make out the name, maybe you can, of great poskim in Lakewood who I can't make it out. Okay, who came with the following psak halacha. They said, it's both in Hebrew and English. I'll read you the English part. A major halacha concern has come to our attention, which we feel is necessary for the community to be made aware of. It has become quite common for families to purchase ready-made takeout food for Shabbos meals. You know, you go to Gourmet Glad, Chapanash, whatever, and you buy ready-made Shabbos food in that way. Give the wife or the mother, or whatever, the woman of the house or whoever normally cooks, the man of the house, the week off from having to cook. And they just buy the ready-made food. And then, it goes on, and to reheat this food on Shabbos in a permissible manner, meaning we're not getting into how food gets reheated. Let's assume that's done b'derech heter. The example they give is the most obvious heter, the clearest heter, such as on top of a pot with some food, which is the heter known as kedera, al gabe kedera. That for sure is mutter. You're allowed to take cold, solid, fully cooked food and put it on kedera al gabe kedera, and that is perfectly fine. That's not their problem. The problem is, these manners of reheating are permitted if the takeout food is dry and is fully cooked or roasted. However, many establishments add seasoning or garnishing to the dishes after they are cooked. Meaning, when you are selling something in a takeout counter, you have this glass display. You want people to come by the glass display, see the food, and say, wow, those chicken cutlets look fantastic. What's going to make them look fantastic? They look just like any other chicken cutlet. No, you know why they look fantastic? Because you sprinkle something with color on top of them, like a little green garnish or something, or maybe some red and yellow peppers on top of it to make it look really colorful and catch the eye. And someone's going to say, no, those look like better chicken cutlets than I can make on my grill, I'm going to buy those chicken cutlets, right? So that's what they do, but they put this garnish on after the food is already fully cooked, either to add flavor to the food or to add to the presentation. I mean, not only the garnish, sometimes there's seasoning, there are some spices that might be added after the food is cooked. So these poskim in Lakewood suggest the following. In such instances, in bold, it is forbidden to place the food in any area where it can be heated to the temperature of Yad Soled Espo. Because if you're taking, granted, the ikur machal is fully cooked, and that's perfectly fine, but whatever you added onto the food after it was cooked was not yet cooked. And that's not perfectly fine. If you're going to be exposing it to heat, you're running the risk of cooking it. And if it is left there until it's cooked, it will be an iser midoraisa if you let these garnishes get cooked. It is also forbidden to return food to a blech or crock pot if the added seasoning or garnishing is not fully cooked yet. You're going to take it off. You put it on before Shabbos, you're going to take it off and you're going to put it back. But the garnishing is not fully cooked yet. Yeah.
Those places are yeshiva, BMG, higher than. They're not just like a band of. And so I'm just telling you who they are.
No, I know where Forsheimer is. Very
close. The poskim that were hired by the yeshiva.
Oh, these are the poskim of the yeshiva. I didn't know that. Okay.
The Felder of the Cats, Forsheimer, the last one is probably,
Lieberman? Is there?
Reb Chaim Asher Lieberman. Those are the four poskim. Chaim Asher.
Meir Chaim, something. Asher Chaim Lieberman. Okay, so these are apparently the poskim of Beis Medrash Gavoa in Lakewood, and they therefore go on to say, therefore, one may not warm up takeout food through any means unless it is, again in bold, totally clear that no uncooked ingredients were added after the food was cooked or roasted. So this is quite stunning, no? Because people do buy all the time. I assume people buy takeout food all the time because these stores are in business. So and it's true. You look at the takeout counter, there's all sorts of garnishings that are added to make it look nice. So is this indeed a problem? Now, the case that it would be a problem is made pretty clearly in that psak, in that letter, right? That would be the that's a pretty strong case. You're dealing with raw food over here, and therefore they say lahasir michshal, unless you're absolutely certain, even if you don't see any garnishing that's evident on the food, since it's common enough, you have to be absolutely certain that there's nothing there in order to be able to warm up the food. What I would like to suggest is some studim lahakel on this issue, just for limud and to figure out maybe be malamed zchus on people who do warm up such food, although even I would suggest that if you do see garnishing on the food that's not cooked, you should probably scrape it off before you warm up the food, before you put the food. But here are some potential studim lahakel if you don't know for sure whether there was anything added after the cooking or not. Yeah?
The food that's like a gourmet blat that's like bread for Shabbos.
That's what they're talking about.
Yes, like this chicken that has like these like ingredients, like is it not cooked? Like it's ready.
The chicken is cooked. After they cook the chicken, they put this green stuff on top of it to make it look nice. That green stuff is not cooked. So when you warm up the food, you're not cooking the chicken. The chicken's fine. You're cooking the green stuff. That's their concern. That is the concern of these poskim.
Seems to bother whoever just.
So the Pashup is this is not something that should be taken to the masses. This should be taken to the stores, right? Whoever the Rabbanim are in any local community where there is takeout food, they should tell them, listen, you should either cook it with the garnish or figure out some way to have pre-cooked garnish or something. You got to do, you want to put red and yellow peppers on top of something. So cook the red and yellow peppers first and then put it on top. And that would solve the whole issue without making people crazy. So I don't know, maybe they tried in Lakewood to convince the stores and they didn't do it, or maybe they're concerned outside of Lakewood where they don't necessarily have that control. I don't know why they took this to the people, but this was forwarded to me in an email from an email that was sent out by the Aguda of Madison in Brooklyn, which is Rabbi Yisrael Reisman. So these are some big people. These are some, and not only the great poskim from Lakewood who signed the letter, but even those who are forwarding it. But still, I think it's mutal aleinu to try to figure out a little bit of a limud zchus, and whether maybe if you're not sure, you don't see any garnishing, and it's not easy to be mevarer, you can't figure it out because it's Shabbos morning, and you realize, oh, I didn't ask them if there was anything added after cooking, and there's no way to figure it out now, that maybe there is room to be makel to warm up your food. Again, I would still suggest if you see something that's obvious, you should scrape it off before you warm it up. But if you don't see anything that's obvious, here's the possible studim lahakel. First of all, whenever you're dealing with any issue in halach, you have to figure out whether you're dealing with a concern midaraisa or a concern midrabanan. The suggestion that if you're taking something that is perfectly edible raw, like a vegetable, like a red pepper, like whatever greens they put on top, that's perfectly edible raw, and then you cook it a little bit, that is bishul midaraisa, is not pashut at all. In fact, it would seem that the pashtus is that it would be bishul midrabanan. Now, you assume midrabanan matter as well, but how do we define bishul midaraisa? On a liquid, bishul midaraisa is defined as cooking something to the point of yad saledespo. On solid food that is typically not edible raw, the definition of bishul midaraisa would be defined as cooking it to the point where it's barely edible. Kemachal ben drusai, where it's just edible enough that if you were really in a tough situation that you would eat it. That is the definition of bishul. But what about things that are already edible raw and you're not really, there's no material improvement in the item in cooking it? So in other halachas and dinim derabbanan, like bishul akum, or specifically by bishul akum, there is such a heter where it's heter gamur by bishul akum if the guy cooks something that's edible raw. But that's mistaver. The whole issue derabbanan is that I'm going to come to develop a relationship with the guy because I'm going to be so appreciative of the fact that he cooked for me, and that's going to lead to chasnus, not in the sense that, oh, this is delicious, marry me, but in the sense that, oh, this is delicious, we'll develop a relationship, and the relationship will get too close, and who knows what that can lead to. So it makes sense that if he didn't do you any big taivas, he cooked you something that was perfectly good beforehand and you didn't really need him to cook it, so they weren't going to make such a gzera. But over here we're talking about bishul and Shabbos. Bishul and Shabbos din d'oraisa, there are no svaras, there are no maybe yeah, maybe no, would you feel close, would you, it has nothing to do with that. So we're dealing with the din d'oraisa. Nevertheless, the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Tes Halach Gimel says that if a person cooks fruits, vegetables that are perfectly edible raw on Shabbos, he is pater. Pater in the Lashon HaRamba means pater aval aser midrabanan. So we're dealing with something that is likely an issur drabanan, and that's assuming that that when you cook it, there's no material improvement. And I would bet that there isn't, because most of the time this garnishing is not really there to add flavor at all. It's not really there to add anything to the food other than to make it look nice. And typically they don't cook it beforehand. Why don't they cook it beforehand? Because it's not better when it's cooked. It's just as good when it's not cooked as when it's cooked. So since there was no serious improvement of the item, we're dealing with the drabanan. Now, when you warm up your chicken cutlets that have the garnishing on it, what are you really intending to warm up? Are you intending to warm up the garnishing, or are you intending to warm up your chicken cutlets? You're clearly intending to warm up, I'm using chicken cutlets as an example, obviously it could be any food. You're intending to warm up your chicken cutlets. The fact that the garnishing gets cooked, that's what we call a psik reshe. That is automatic, it's going to be an automatic result of your warming up the food. What's the halach when you have a psik reshe on an issur drabanan? Psik reshe on a drabanan is machlokas aposkim. Truma sadesh and sima samach dalid is mekel. Psik reshe on drabanan is mutter. But the Ramah in Shin Yod Aleph Sif Aleph and Magen Avraham Sif Katan Hey are both machmir psik reshe midrabanan. But at least as a sniff lahakel to realize that this is a psik reshe on a drabanan, and even if it's not a total sniff lahakel, at least to set the groundwork over here that it is very likely that the isser in question would be an isser drabanan, not an isser d'oraisa. Next, when you're dealing with a psik reshe delo nichole, there is a further machlokas rishonim. Let's say it is a psik reshe, but you don't want the garnishing to get cooked. It doesn't taste any better when it's cooked. In fact, it probably tastes worse and looks worse when it's cooked. That's why they don't cook it with the garnishing. They want it to look nicer, so they put the garnishing on afterwards. So this would be considered a psik reshe delo nichle, or at the very least, a psik reshe delo echpatle, that you could care less about it. It doesn't really add anything to the food, and therefore you're not interested in it at all. A psik reshe delo echpatle has the status of a psik reshe delo nichle. That is a further machlokas rishonim, whether that is mutter or aser. The Aruch and many other rishonim hold psik reshe delo echpatle or delo nichle is mutter. Many other Rishonim disagree. Generally speaking, we try to be machmir, but at least the sniff lakula. What this Shaila reminded me of as soon as I saw this Shaila was a tshuva Ramesha has in Archaim Chelik Dalet Simen Ayin Dalet. That's an important tshuva to remember. Whenever you want to find out a very quick Rav Moshe Shitas on a number of things in Olcha Shabbos, that is the tshuva he wrote to Rabbi Eider Zichrono Levracha, who was also a posik from Lakewood, a YU graduate, but a posik from Lakewood, who wrote a number of phenomenal English svarim in halacha, including a sefer called Halachos of Shabbos, Kishmo Kein Hu. It's a sefer is exactly what you'd expect it to be. And Rabbi Eider, of all of his great contributions, Rabbi Eider was a great Talmud Chacham and a great posik, and he introduced pretty much a whole genre of halachic literature in English that has now become very popular with Hebrew footnotes and well sourced and of a certain level of intellectual value to it. So he really contributed a great amount to the Jewish people. But I would argue that his greatest contribution was getting Rav Moshe to actually put down what he holds about everything. So he wrote this whole list of shailos from Moshe, and the long tshuva Chaim Chel Dal Tzimnayin Dalit. Rav Moshe just goes through point by point every shailah Rabbi Eider asks him. One of the things that Rabbi Eider asked him was, what if you have a cup of coffee on Shabbos morning? And then you realize, after you finish your cup of coffee, too much Kiddush wine last night, I could use a second cup of coffee. Good, so you make yourself a second cup of coffee. But in the first cup of coffee, there's still drops of coffee that you can't drink out every last drop, so there's still some moisture in the cup. Now, that moisture in the cup is cold, because it's so little, it's so minuscule, that it's cold. By the time you pour in your second cup of hot coffee, aren't you going to be mevashel those little drops of coffee that are still in your cup from before? So shouldn't you have to dry out the cup of coffee before you pour in new coffee? So Rav Moshe says, I don't think so. I don't think you have to do that. First of all, Rav Moshe says, if it's your second cup of coffee, There is Meikradin probably ain't Bishalach or Bishal even Bedavarlach. It's true. We're Machmir when it's done in the Gamri, when the liquid is fully cooled down, we're Machmir not to recook liquid. But Meikradin probably there's no Bishalach or Bishal Bedavarlach. But he says, even if it wasn't previously cooked, even if all you did was you rinsed out the cup with cold water, you take out a mug from your cabinet and you rinse it out with cold water, and it has droplets of cold water that have never been cooked in the cup, even then, he says, I'm not convinced that it's usher. Why not? So Moshe writes, Hine yeshchilik ben tipos mayim, shalomi tosaf bazeh shum hana'a. You are getting zero hana'a from those additional droplets of water. Aflo bekamus. They don't add any substantial quantity of water. Shaf b'mayim karm shul bishul d'oraisa. Ein baze isula aruch varbi poskim de pesuk reishal nichlo shari aflechachila. So he says, even if we're dealing with bishul d'oraisa, according to the aruch, those who say pesuk reishal nichlo, this would be textbook pesuk reishal de lo nichlo. I would argue that the same would apply over here, that it's pesuk reishal de lo nichlo on the garnishing, and therefore, especially since we're dealing with an Issur Drabanan, and so we're dealing with a Pesuk Reish, not just a Pesuk Reish and Issur Drabanan, Pesuk Reish to Lo Nichle and Issur Drabanan, I think those two snifim are significant. But I think perhaps the greatest snif Lahakel, and I think is an important snif Lahakel, is not if you know that there's something there that's raw. Certainly if you know that there's something there that's raw, so remove it, like we said before. What if you're not sure? You don't know. Did they add anything? Did they not add anything? So this is what's called a suffix psik reshe. We discussed this last time, that if there is something raw there, then yeah, in Ochinami, it's psik reshe that when you warm it up, you're going to be cooking the raw item. But if there's nothing that's raw there, then you're doing nothing wrong by putting it on keder al gabi keder or whatever your halachically permissible method of warming is. So you do nothing wrong when you put it on keder al gabi keder. You just don't know. You don't know if there's something raw there or not. What is the status of a suffek psik reshe? Says the Taz, Simon Shinta, Zayin, Sifkat, and Gimel, that explaining a tour where the tour says that you're allowed to close a small box, even though there might be a fly inside that box. You just don't know if there's a fly inside the box. You can't see. Now, if there is a fly inside the box, you're going to be violating the malacha of trapping, of tseda. If there's no malacha, if there's no fly in the box, then you're not doing anything wrong. And the tour says that's fine. The Taz says that's because Savik Psik Reshe has the status of a Davar Sheinu Miskaven. And Davar Sheinu Miskaven is mutter. And it's true, the Bir Halacha in Dibur Maskil V'Lach over there in Simon Shinta Zayin questions this Taz. Shulchan Aruch Harav strongly questions this Taz, but the Bir Halacha then goes on to bring a raya to the Taz from the Ramban, and there are many poskim that rely on this Taz lahalacha. And the Sefer Shvi'is Shabbos, quoted by Rabbi Ribiat, he says he's makel on the Safik Psik Reshe in Hilchos Shabbos, even though he'd be machmer on the Safik Psik Reshe outside of Hilchos Shabbos, because Shabbos requires melechus machshavah. So if at the time that you're doing it, you don't realize that you're doing it, or you don't know that you're doing it, even though it may turn out that you were doing the melacha, but there was a lack of melechus machshavah. And therefore it would be mutter. So I would argue, or I would question at least, that if a person has something that they don't know, and there's a very reasonable chance that there are no raw ingredients in there, that everything is fully cooked, to be machmer that they're not allowed to warm up, al hatzad, on the chance that there might be something raw, I would argue that seems to be a significant chumrah, because we're dealing with a suffik psik reshe which has the status of dov shein miskaven, and even if there was something raw, we're dealing with a psik reshe de lo nichale on what is likely a derabanan, so it would seem that that would be a significant chumrah. So in conclusion, if you see garnish on the food, scrape it off. That's easy enough. If it's not immediately visible, you can assume that at worst it's a suffik on a drabanan, maybe even a suffik psik reshe, and that is very likely mutter. But really what we should do is we should go to the takeout places and request of them at least the food that they make on Wednesday and Thursday, which is likely to be used for Shabbos. They're going to make food on Sunday and people are going to use for a Monday night dinner, a Tuesday night dinner. We don't have to drive ourselves crazy and assume that people are buying their Shabbos food on Sunday, probably, but at least the food that they make later on in the week, to try to encourage them not to put anything raw on the food, after the food is already made. Very interesting chap. I don't know, the poskim lake would certainly do a great service to bring this matter to our attention and to be able to discuss this lahalacha. I did not yet have a chance to discuss with any of my rebbeim. Maybe we'll see Rav Wulik today. Maybe we could ask him what he thinks. But I would, pending the agreement of my rebbeim, this is what I would humbly suggest would be a tzad lahakel on these issues.